Twice out on the hour, it is the hour of the time. Lights out for the curfew of your body, soul, and
good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Tonight, the 14th of April, 2010, Wednesday, and we're in store for another exciting broadcast this evening. Tonight, we're going to cover networking more in the Civil Disobedience series. Networking with other freedom individuals or American individualists in your area and around the country. So, first, though, the address and regular information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com, and in Arizona, the studio number, 928-333-2942, that's 928-333-2942, and in Canada, the studio number, 613-733-4324, 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to send productive comments or questions, inquiries, share research, or hate mail, what have you, my personal email address is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this evening again, be prepared to take notes as always, and don't forget that the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. Do your gracious donations, and better yet, donate for research materials via the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. There you'll find a massive collection of MP3 file, audio files in individual form. Also, topical series that are bundled together, PDF documents and books and collections, and DVD video presentations. So don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the way we keep every day nowadays out speaking somewhere, expanding like this current test month on the satellite audio stream, and our other endeavors like conferences around the country, the way we're able to do this, ladies and gentlemen, is through your support. We are 100% listener supported, and through that gracious support is how we're able to expand. We have some more really exciting opportunities right in front of us. And I would be glad to take them on, and the additional time and responsibility required, as Rob would be. We've talked about it at length, but we're not going to do it by going out mowing lawns and taking side jobs. That's your responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. So keep that in mind. Now, also a few more announcements. We've gotten some more very good intelligence on provocateurs. Mainly they're going to be centered at this point that I can find out on April 15th. Rallies around the country. Look heavily in your Dallas and Fort Worth areas, Albuquerque, Phoenix, Tempe, that whole valley in Arizona, Kansas City, the Central Valley in Southern California, both, and the capital of California, so Sacramento, the Fresno, Madera area, and then, of course, Southern is in L.A. area. Right now, we have been able to verify there are elements working strongly and getting organized, signs, and some of them even contemplating violent reactions at so-called Tea Party protests, other April 15th tax day protests, what have you, around the country. Be leery. Don't hide in the sand because of these little peons, okay? If they threaten you, you have the right to defend yourself and beat their ass. Now, don't be an instigator either. Don't egg them on. Don't try to get in a physical confrontation, but you have the right to defend yourself fully. So keep that in mind. They want you to stay home scared, ladies and gentlemen. They are agent provocateurs, just like many of the talk show hosts out there in the internet and radio world. So don't fall victim. Don't allow them to get the upper hand and control. Be there. Be brave. Be diligent and vigilant, ladies and gentlemen. That is the way to do it. Now, there's nothing wrong, though, strategically or tactically, with being well prepared and having advanced intelligence of a critical situation and handling it correctly. So think about all that before you run around and get your cardboard signs out if you're going to entertain some of those events. There will, of course, if there's so-called celebrities or politicians, because we don't really have any statesmen left in this country, if any of them will be there, they'll, of course, have security as well. But be mindful and use your rights to self-defense and personal defense and armament to their full extent as allowed by your states and counties or where the event's going to be held. So just be leery and have something available to film with, a little video camera or whatever you've got. It'll be interesting if you capture some of these provocateurs out there in action. I think you might get quite a kick out of it reviewing it. It also lets you know who the enemies of freedom in the Republic are. You can document, as we talked about in the Minuteman series, document your enemies, put names to faces, names and faces to organizations, and know who your enemies are. And it's actually quite topical because of last night's broadcast, part 10, on deprogramming and networking in the Civil Disobedience series. And this evening, the 14th of April, Wednesday, 2010, the next installment on networking. So knowing your enemies and who to network with and against is part of your duty and responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. You owe it to yourself, your posterity, and those around you that you love to do that. So with that said, we're going to go to a musical break. And by the way, I have failed to mention last Wednesday and last evening, the 13th, and some of these musical selections contributed by David James. He sent me a CD, so I figured he wants me to play it on the air. I don't know. There was no note in there to that, but I assume that's what most people want, is us to play some of their music that they wrote. So it's David James that you'll be hearing this evening and you heard last evening as well, ladies and gentlemen. So after this break, be prepared to take notes and be a studious. Get your little snacks right now so you don't have to leave and break during the broadcast. Gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time this evening, Wednesday, the 14th of April, 2010, with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, we've been discussing networking, et cetera, ladies and gentlemen, within and amongst other individualists like you, freedom individualist if you're elsewhere, or American individualist if you're in somewhere in one of the 50 states. And the importance of networking, ladies and gentlemen, but being cautious cannot be stressed enough, as we discussed at length in the Strategic and Tactical MP3 audio series and the Minuteman audio series. Now, we ended yesterday with having to fess up to yourself, which is the first and big and hardest step, ladies and gentlemen, and those around you that you have been duped, allowed yourself to be duped, what have you, by lack of research or lack of education, into violating the Constitution, maybe in your daily activities and lives. And that needs to stop. Okay? Now, when you violate a tenet of the Constitution, you need to look through some introspection or what have you, find out who were you? Was it yourself or someone else that you thought you were protecting? What did you have to personally gain, do you feel, by committing that violation against yours and others' liberties? And then after you've determined that, then ask yourself, was it really right to violate the supreme guardian of liberty for your personal gain? If not, then take corrective action, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do it again. Now, everybody makes mistakes. All of us. But as soon as you know that you've done that, then set a goal to not do that again. That may not make that same mistake again. Now, if you need help in that, share this information like this audio series, the other ones we've mentioned, available via the website, hourofthetime.com. Divulge to that person what you've done and ask them, him or her, to adhere strictly to the Constitution in evaluating your predicament. Use this series, for instance, as a topical index to locate the appropriate provisions that you may have violated. And then you need to figure out, ladies and gentlemen, solution-oriented, again, here at Hour of the Time, what is a constitutionally valid approach you could have used to accomplish the same objective? In doing this, ladies and gentlemen, you will develop a habit pattern to never infringe upon the Constitution, your liberties, or others. And your creative powers will also grow geometrically. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is very good. Be creative, as I stress all the time, because it is your duty to circumvent unconstitutional bureaucracies, collectivist organizations, to disrupt them, circumvent them, and tear them down, and be creative in it. Now, when a person you are allied with violates the Constitution, you need to make sure that they understand what they did, using the same approach that we just discussed with them. Be open and honest. Ladies and gentlemen, if they need reference, reference them this audio series right here, Civil Disobedience, The Tactics, The Minuteman. If you have in amongst your network, if a person has violated a liberty and allowed your network to be compromised, a good reference point would be the Minuteman Tactics and Strategy series, all those. Now, if the person you're dealing with will still not uphold the Constitution and freedom and liberties for themselves and all those people around them, you must absolutely, wholeheartedly reject him or her from your network. Have nothing to do with that scumbag. Get rid of him. Don't associate with them or anything. Now, each individual can, of course, operate as just a lone wolf, if you will, and would not be led anywhere he or she does not choose to go. But it's better if you network always, ladies and gentlemen. And even though you're networked and working with others that are freedom or American individualist, one thing for sure is, as you are working as an individualist, that you will not tolerate, nor those around you, any bureaucracy speaking on your behalf or anybody else's behalf. In fact, an individualist's duty and message to a bureaucracy or any other organization that supports collectivism and bureaucracies and is anti-constitutional is clear. Don't call me, I'll call you if and when I'm ready. That's it, ladies and gentlemen, plain and simple. Now, the bureaucracy never gave an individualist any rights. So each individualist needs to take his or her own rights back. Each individualist and your networks becomes a rebel with the cause, connected voluntarily to all other rebels, if you will, with the same cause, the Constitution and freedom. And likewise, each of us is able to instantly disconnect with anyone who proves to be in opposition to the Constitution. Oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, an organization is unable to do this. It can be utterly impossible, in fact, to find socialists and collectivists and communists that influence a given organization. In many organizations, it's almost impossible to find out who've influenced them. And they've rarely been willing to admit even the possibility that they were infiltrated or influenced. But a networks-type system of individuals cannot be influenced by collectivists or socialists or communists, because each individual can reject any alliance with anybody or any group who persists in supporting collectivist policies, unconstitutional bureaucracies, codes, administrative rulings. After, of course, you and the others in question have been confronted with the truth of, for instance, this audio series. Each person in a network, ladies and gentlemen, is fully responsible for his or her own actions. Now, responsibility is something lacking today to a great extent. People have turned more into an entitlement society. And guess what? You're not entitled to crap except for the Constitution, protection of it, of your rights and liberties by it. And that's about it. Those God-given rights, unalienable, inalienable, cannot be leaned, cannot have a lien placed upon them, cannot be encumbered. No one, ladies and gentlemen, can set the policy for the network of others either. And when someone does make an exception to the Constitution, and then repeatedly does it after being educated, then he or she is not acting as a constitutionalist or an individualist. The recognized violations, ladies and gentlemen, automatically separate collectivists and socialists from any network of constitutionalists. And hence, every individualist out there whether they're American or just a freedom individual somewhere else, must be informed and alert in order to recognize collectivist policies and jargon. Individualism and constitutionalism can only be represented by the actual practice of it, the purest practice possible, ladies and gentlemen, of those very things. Often an organization or political party will bend to the opinions and whims of the majority of its members, and even nonconformist, if you want to call them, members of most organizations are subjected to compromising their principles with others in the endorsement of laws which subvert the Constitution, the endorsement of bureaucracies, collectivist agencies, bureaucratic law, administrative codes. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen, since you and you alone, once you've admitted that A, you made a mistake here. B, here's a corrective action and you're not going to do it again. And C, you're going to proceed forward in a proactive, solution-oriented stance. You are the center of every network you're in, ladies and gentlemen, you. And you can merely withdraw from or reject others who are collectivists. And at the same time, you can cultivate others into becoming individualist without at any time compromising pure constitutionalism. And in networking, no one can be labeled with the misdeeds of another, because guess what? It's not an organization. You're not attending a chapter meeting of some organization. And unfortunately, and conversely, almost every member in an organization is smeared by the misdeeds or mistakes of a very small handful of membership or leadership. That's usually what happens. And it's quite well planned, ladies and gentlemen, is often the case. No one represents you as an individual, but you yourself. And hence, since no American individuals has been represented by an organization or a political party, that's quite clear, or by any elected official, especially since 1932, you're not relying upon any representation now. So don't feel that you're working against some good-hearted system. Now, if anybody comes to you and says, well, you really ought to get in our deal over here. We'll represent all your interest. We'll take care of your interest. Don't worry. You don't have to think. You better watch out. You need to maintain full responsibility and full authority over your own life and destiny. You can't be, again, misrepresented if you're not represented in the first place. You alone, ladies and gentlemen, must make these decisions. And even if we elected somehow a majority, ladies and gentlemen, of true individualists into some public office or realm of public offices, it would still be all of our continued individual vigilance and our individual disobedience to unconstitutional laws that would protect us and our nation and our posterity. This is true, ladies and gentlemen, of our generation and all the generations to come. An American individualist freedom rests not upon even the best of elected office holders, but upon your, his or her, individual determination to disobey or disrupt the enforcement of all unconstitutional laws, actions, and entities. Networks also enable individual Americans, individual freedom, to be assisted and to assist others in fighting unconstitutional laws. It allows you to participate in a stable barter system. It allows you to mutually protect homes and businesses from bureaucracy and criminals. It allows you to buy and sell merchandise and services, to exchange valuable information, and to keep each other on course. Ladies and gentlemen, those are all benefits of a networked type system. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the very best ways, besides the audio series and education and research materials at the Hour of the Time and our website, hourofthetime.com, is to attend an Hour of the Time Skills and Research Conference. We teach you to stand on your own two feet, because the more independent you are and solution-oriented, the bigger stumbling block you are in the way of collectivism and socialism. See, if you don't have to beg for your food or your water or your medical or your safety, you're not subject to their whims. You and you alone control your destiny, your livelihood, your posterity, your prosperity. And that really, really irks collectivists. So it's something to consider, ladies and gentlemen, especially being we're about to hit another conference real soon here. And in fact, what's really sad is we have, and I say sad in this sense, a known socialist country, Canada, not only has to help and do a tremendous amount of the work with Hour of the Time, because there's too many entitled so-called Americans out there, but right now in Western Canada, a group is organizing a conference at a greater speed than many so-called Americans out there are doing one in their own area. Sad, 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 ladies and gentlemen. The grass is always greener on the other side, I guess, and many Canadians realize what they've lost. And I also find it ironic, like on some news post a week or so ago, Canada getting rid of hunting rifle and shotgun registries, long gun registries, whereas California is looking for an ultimate door-to-door registry. And I'm glad to see that many retailers, online included in catalog, just like the 50 caliber manufacturers, many of them at least, most notably Barnett, banned all sales to California because of Nazi-like legislation in California, not allowing the citizenry to own those tools, only the police state. So guess what? They said, well, guess what? We're not selling to you either, Mr. Police State. Good for them. And many firms now are already pre-warning people with notices. They're not even going to deal with California residents come January 2011 with reloading equipment, survival gear, ammunition, firearms accessories. Good for them. Because maybe it'll make some people out there who are fence walking right now in California get off their ass and get motivated when they realize everything has been stripped from them by their so-called elected officials. Now, ladies and gentlemen, after this musical break, we're going to continue on and discuss a few things like a code of silence, if you want to call it a given name, this next section. We'll be right back. ladies and gentlemen. Again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time tonight, Wednesday, the 14th of April, 2010. And if you email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com, tonight, why this broadcast is new and live, tonight, I will send you tonight's free offer in PDF will be something that many of you may have never read before. The headquarters of the Department of the Army publishes a publication called Military Law Review, and I want you to read this particular one because it discusses various topics that I think you'll find interesting for your research. So tonight, email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, for this Military Law Review. This particular one covers such topics as, and I think you will get the gist of why I'm offering this for you to read, defense in outer space. What are the staff judge advocate's role as a legal advisor on post? Military malpractice in hospitals, hospital negligence and related matters. A case for realistic contract versus in-house decision-making. And I think the two most important ones, and you'll understand when you read them, are an article on statuses of forces agreements as a basis for United States custody of an accused and martial law. Ladies and gentlemen, read this and learn. Email me tonight, again, the 14th. Of April 2010, Wednesday, while this broadcast is new and live, for this PDF pamphlet. Tell me what you want, though. Don't just email me with a blank email. I got some of those last week, and I just erased them. I figure if you're too lazy to at least write, hey, send me that PDF, Doyle, that you mentioned, then you don't need it because you're not going to read it. So that's tonight's research offer, a military law review issue, concentrating on martial law and the U.S.'s ability of holding accused in custody. The main thing is I want you to notice the date of the publication when you're reading these articles, too. Now on to the next section to do with networking. It could be called a code of silence if you want to have topical areas in your notes. Recent business surveys have shown that many successful Americans, businessmen, which aren't very many anymore, but when there is, they generally only tell their employees what they need to know to perform their jobs. They don't tell their whole master plan. They don't tell every aspect of the plan. This protects not only them, but their employees as well. And guess what? OPSEC, ladies and gentlemen, go back again to the Tactics series, the PSYOP series, and the Minuteman series. Since somebody may not know much in an operation, they can't testify against you either. And, hence, cannot be held accountable to the bureaucracy. Now, of course, anybody that wants to be successful in their networking or business wants long relationships with anyone around them that they work with. And if the bureaucracy has no way of harassing your network, they can work together for a very long time. Now, oftentimes, though, you will need help in documenting, researching, and then disrupting unconstitutional bureaus, acts, collectivists, agencies, or administrative rulings and codes. And surveys have indicated, ladies and gentlemen, in the business world, that many of the very best were very concealed operations. And they involved Americans who remained silent and did not respond to any unconstitutional bureaucratic inquiry about others and never testified against others in a civil or criminal proceeding, which were based upon unconstitutional laws. And in fact, most individuals will find with your proper research and education through audio series, like At the Hour of the Time, you'll very rarely need to confide 100% in your network with various other people to circumvent unconstitutional laws. But often and frequently, suppliers for a business, for instance, or customers for a business, and those that you network with in your endeavors, have been able to stop a bureaucratic investigation into their affairs by merely, again, not giving any information to the bureaucracy, the collectivist, the illegal agency, the illegal action, the illegal inquiry. For instance, sometimes it's been discovered in courts that when the bureaucracy subpoenaed a particular person or the records, they just couldn't find the information requested. Subpoena laws can only require a person to bring the records he or she can find. And the person probably, in many notable cases around the country and hearings in front of Congress and Senate, I guess the people just looked in all the wrong places and couldn't bring the bureaucracy anything. And when asked damaging questions, people on the witness stand have also just had a failure in memory. Do you remember many of the hearings centered around the Iran-Contra affairs? Now, I know many of you aren't old enough to have watched those meetings, or if you were, you were at an age where you didn't even know what the Iran-Contra affair was. You were probably watching Transformers or something, whatever was popular then. But many of you may remember the I don't know answer. A repeated failure of memory. So you just truthfully said, I don't know. Now, no law that's unconstitutional from an unconstitutional collectivist or bureaucratic agency or code or ruling or hearing can make you say or testify to something you don't know. And no lawyer can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you don't know something. Now, since no does connotate in law complete and ultimate knowledge, it's very hard for you to ultimately say that, yes, you do know about this or that. So, based on the Fifth Amendment, you and your allies should refuse to answer any and all questions on the witness stand or in the lobby of your business or in the driveway of your yard or wherever it might be that could be self-incriminating. Now, American individualists also honor their promises, and so do freedom individualists everywhere, because they're firing bureaucrats that do not honor even their sworn oaths. Practically speaking, this is also an essential quality of an American individualist, because to become more successful in your endeavors, you must deal with thousands of people, and that could include suppliers, employees, customers, co-workers. So honoring your word, a warranty, if you will, on your product or service is essential. Don't expect those around you that you network with, suppliers, employees, customers, whatever they might be, to stay with you if you continually break promises to them. You may need some of these people someday to help you prevent a bureaucratic infringement upon your freedom. And if you've been honorable with them, most of them will protect you when the chips are down. And very few will turn against you, especially if you've done your homework, your research, and have been diligent and vigilant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in order for those in your network, those around you, in your business affairs, example, customers, suppliers, co-workers, in order for them to fully mutually protect you and you them, all from unconstitutional intrusions by bureaucracies and collectivists, they need to be exposed, ladies and gentlemen, to this information. Encourage them to take notes and listen to this broadcast series. Donate for it. At the same time, help the Hour of the Time out. And again, if you need a bulk quantity of this entire series, on disc, multiple discs, for instance, to use at a meeting or something, of coworkers, church members, neighborhood, people, whatever it is, just simply contact me, hourthetime@hotmail.com. And ladies and gentlemen, these that you've exposed to this knowledge and truth, who you may need to back you up one day, may also need to be witnesses for your defense. Okay? And they need to knowledgeably and fully understand they don't have to cooperate with unconstitutional collectivists or bureaucracies. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? As soon as your network of individuals sees that fighting the bureaucracy and collectivism and socialism and unconstitutional acts and laws is a two-way street, two-way loyalty will begin flowing between you. You'll establish a strong network that will survive for many generations. Ladies and gentlemen, step forward and help defend and protect others when they are sued or harassed by a bureaucracy. If you don't step to the defense of others, if you don't stand in the face of harm for others and those around you, you may become the next target of the bureaucratic nightmare, collectivism, and socialism. And you may ultimately end up in a prison camp, ladies and gentlemen. Is that what you want? Gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time, part 11 in our series of civil disobedience tonight, concentrating on networking, the 14th of April, 2010. Don't forget to email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Tonight, while this show is new and live, and I'll send you that PDF of military law review publication issued by the Department of the Army. Amongst the several pages are at-length articles on martial law and the ability of the U.S. to hold people custody. You're going to want to read this and note the dates. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in your work with your networking, you will quickly determine, ladies and gentlemen, who is able to be trusted, who is an American or freedom individualist in your area, who is a strong individual, who will be dedicated, hardworking, work effectively and productively without being constantly watched and observed and supervised. You'll recognize them by their productivity, for instance. Make sure, ladies and gentlemen, if in a business sense, open your doors to advancement for them. Sponsor them, if you will, in their own businesses and groups and networks. Strong individuals will be able to go into self-employment, if you will. Set them up to work with you. Strong individuals can also cooperate with other strong individuals well, because they can be counted on to carry their own weight. And a strong individualist is always cautious about their commitments because they plan on honoring them with others. Voluntary alliances like this or in a network system are very beneficial. But even if there is a failure in one person in the network, it doesn't set back, because the strong freedom or American individuals can still relentlessly pursue their quest. They will get rid of that weak link and proceed on with a proactive, solution-oriented stance. Because as a strong, educated, and well-researched individualist, you don't have to put yourself in a position to be dependent on any particular person. And you cultivate hundreds of allies to allow for natural human failings, ladies and gentlemen. You always are ready to take the place of each other ally out there that gets cold feet, to fill in for those who are strong allies and cover their backs. Now, I want to end this evening with a audio segment. My voice is quite worn out. So, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, our Constitution did not put you in a position to be dependent or subservient to a bureaucracy. But I will end with this old audio clip this evening. And I think you should listen and pay attention and think about everything we've discussed as of late. I want to thank you for tuning in again to the Hour of the Time, our website, hourofthetime.com. And I hope everybody has a safe and a studious evening. Oops, but I almost forgot one more thing. I received a very neat postcard today. Compliments of Brian. Thank you. It was on water rights, and I really appreciated receiving that.
Free men and women cannot participate in socialism. You cannot. You must not. And indeed, this country is almost totally socialist at this moment. All we need couple of more things. Guaranteed food, guaranteed jobs, guaranteed medical care. You've already got guaranteed food, and if you don't have a job, you got guaranteed welfare, which is the same thing. So really, the only thing we need to become a totally socialist country at this moment is guaranteed medical care. I know there's a lot of you out there who need medical care, but if you've never fallen for the insurance scam, the price of medical care would not be as high as it is today, and anybody would be able to afford it except the poor. Think about it. We're in this situation because we as a people, as citizens of this great country, have failed our forefathers and have failed the Constitution. Our forefathers and the Constitution did not fail us. But they knew we would be weak. You can find in the writings of George Washington, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, statements of what most probably would happen in the future of this great nation. And that the people would learn how to give themselves favor after favor after favor until there was no freedom left. You've used the right to contract to destroy yourselves. This is a wake-up call, maybe the only one that you ever get. This is serious. Wake up, roll over, sit on the edge of the bed, put your feet firmly up on the floor, and get up. Get up and look around at the real world, not the fantasy land that you've been wandering around in, lost for years. Your e-ticket has expired. The rides are coming to a stop. The gates are closing. And you'd better find the gate quickly and get out into the sunlight. You'd better learn to stand on your own two feet, responsible. Responsible. And you'd better throw every single traitor out of Washington. All of them. We need to completely revamp our entire political process. We can never again allow professional politicians to hold office in this country. And we must root out every member of secret societies who exist in the bureaucracy and in elected office. This must be done for the good of the nation. If we don't learn to do these things, and if we don't learn to send citizens to the State House and to Washington to represent us, and only for one term and one term only, then we are doomed as a people to be enslaved once again, as man has always been enslaved in the past on this earth until this country was brought into being. The chains will surely be put around our ankles, and we will be shackled to a computer and a system of cashless debt that will be more cruel than the most maximum security prison in the history of the world. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it long and hard. Look at your children when you think about it, and understand that the future belongs to them, and their future will be what we give them. Nothing more, nothing less. Good night, and God bless you all.